I just want somebody to punch him in the face.
Which one?
I really do. I just want somebody to punch him in the face.
Why you don't like Draymond?
Yo, Jay in Atlanta.
I want to punch him in the face.
Why you don't like Draymond?
I'm just telling you, I want to punch his ass in the face. I do.
Why? Why?
Relax.
Yeah, NBA Strayer, how you going? That's right, man, it's NBA Strayer. It's Wednesday, May 2. This is episode 110. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and whoever else wants to pay me money. And I'm hanging out here in Larry Yama Studios, New York City, New York, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA in the playoffs today, just while repping Strayer just a little bit. But we do. Today's show, we wrap the games from last night, including Toronto choking against LeBron once more, and the Warriors doing Warriors things against the Pelicans. And also, we have the playoff editions of the usual dumbassery. That means, yeah, nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, Outback Takehouse, a whole bunch of other stuff. All it means is you get some shrimps on your takes at Outback Takehouse. And as we do every day, we've got the Australian Player Watch, where we check in what the Australians are up to. We also preview the game tonight. That's Jazz at Rockets Game 2. We uncork a new Mark Bradke Memorial Sweaty White Guy of the Week and finish up with an absolute pearler of an Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Aw, yeah. It's episode 110. It's NBA Australia. Let's go.
Oi, 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 it's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Yeah, you better, because it's NBA Straya. We start every day, every episode, every show with the Daily Whip Around. We talk about the games from last night, and oh my lord, we had a good one last night, didn't we? What do you reckon there, Stephen A. Smith? That's right, Cleveland beat Toronto in Toronto.
Cleveland!
113-112 in overtime. Game one of their second round series. Cavs go up one zip. This was a fucking bonkers game. Are you kidding me? Toronto led this game for 47 minutes and 17 seconds, and then Cleveland tied it up at the very depth. The death. Thanks to LeBron James. This was unbelievable. It was tight a bunch of the way. The Raps would then eke out like a little bit ahead, just enough to feel a little bit comfortable. Then LeBron would do some shit and then be up four or something. And you're like, ah, man, Toronto, just bury them. And they never could. And then LeBron gets it all within two. Thanks to some timely assistance from J.R. Smith, Jeff Green and co, who kept them in it in the second and then in the third and fourth. And then LeBron just goes, ah, wait, so we're down two. All right, I better tie this up. And that's what happened. Tied it up, goes to overtime. Toronto missed shots at the end of regulation. Can't inbound the ball in the last minute of regulation. Burn a timeout, then can't get the ball in anyway. Straight turn it over. It was a shocker. This was so crazy. So LeBron nails a two to tie it at the end of regulation. The Raps can't do anything. Then in the overtime, it comes down to even more missed shots at the end after the Cavs got up about seven. Raps pull it all the way back. They got a chance to win it at the absolute depth. They're down one thanks to that Kyle Lowry three-point play. And then they miss, I believe, roughly 18 shots in the last 5 seconds, and Cleveland get the fucking win. What an unbelievable game this was. This was bonkers. From the start, it was such a great tussle. LeBron clearly was just like, oh man, I'm not shooting anywhere near as well as I did in game seven against Indy. Missed a bunch of free throws. Couldn't hit a three to save his life. It was just all over the shot, mate. And then it didn't matter. His other boys stepped up. So LeBron ends up with a triple-double. J.R. Smith, though, rolls in too. So let's get to the Raps. Kyle Lowry, 18-10, 6-12 from the field, 3-6 from three, looked good, but then did sweet fuck all in the second half. And same goes for DeMar DeRozan there, when he wasn't getting giant swinging elbows to the face from Kevin Love. He was scoring 15 points in the first half. Unfortunately, he only ended up with 22. Ah, oh, DeMar, what are you doing there, kid? Come on, DeMar. So big booty Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, man. 18 and 22 each. that just disappeared in that fourth quarter. Like, absolute shocker. My name is Jonas Valanciunas. He had 21 and 21. And speaking of missing in the fourth quarter, just going and disappearing, big fella. He was 7 of 19 overall for his 21 points, but then was 1 of 7 in the fourth. And when you can't, like, depend on your top three dudes to just do anything, you're fucked. Serge Ibaka, he shoots 3 of 8. CJ Miles, CJ Kilometers, goes 2 of 6. Teenage Mutant Jakob Poeltl was 0 of 3. 2 of 7 from Freddie Van Vliet of the Fightin' Van Vliets. Jesus, 2 of 6 from Dallin Wright. Man, so much of that vaunted bench, huh? That's 10 of 27 they go. That is, how you say, not good, not good. What do you think there, Stephen A?
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I just don't know.
Oh, I don't know either. That is unbelievable. So, the Raps, man. How do you reckon they feel now? Like, this is just gross, right? They shoot 42% from the field. The Cavs actually shoot a worse percentage, but get over the hump. This was unbelievable. This kind of feels more like the Raps lost this game than the Cavs won it, if that makes any sense. The Raps, they were there, they had it. And then they let it go because they done shit the bed. And for the Cavs, let's do the whip around for those dudes. LeBron, as mentioned, another triple-double. His 21st career playoff triple-double. That's 26 points on 12 of 30 shooting. Kobe! 1 of 8 from 3. Kobe! But still, 26 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists, and the game tie to get it to overtime. The best thing is he was helped out by J.R. Smith. Trying to get that pipe. 20 points. That's the first LeBron teammate this postseason to score 20. Can you believe that? That's fucking bananas, mate. He goes 5 of 6 from 3 to J.R. on the road. That's unbelievable. Jeff Green, same thing. He goes 4 of 4 from the floor, 1 of 1 from 3, 7 of 8 from the free throw line for his 16 points. And it's just like, oh shit, we finally got some other dudes. Because Kyle Korver came up big again. He had 19. He had a big 3 in overtime to put them up 7. 5 of 12 from 3 goes Korver. And so between them, you've got 20 points for JR, 16 for Jeff Green, 19 for Kyle Korver. Tristan Thompson even comes in again. 14 and 12, 4 of 4 from the floor, from the free throw line. All while Toronto fans were chanting, Chloe, Chloe, Chloe at him. But as was pointed out on Twitter, what? You think that chanting Chloe at him is going to make him not score? That's only going to make him score more, you fucking morons. That was the entire point. No one ever fucking accused Canadians or Toronto fans of being super smart. Kevin Love sucked until he scored 5 of his 7 total points late to help them over the hump. He was 3 of 13 from the field, man. Literally, he was the only reason they shot 40% instead of 50%. Seriously, his 10 shots, like, that was the 10% difference. It's unbelievable. He had 13 rebounds, though, which is nice, but he still looks a little bit gun-shy, that hand. Like, he's just got no touch around the rim all of a sudden. You're like, Kevin Love, how the fuck, like, I know that your left hand hurts. How does that affect your fucking right arm when you're doing a little fucking running hook in the paint? That makes no fucking sense. Anyway, so there you go. Game one, Cavs, Raps, LeBron, lots of help. And there you go. Like, the craziest part is, LeBron had a triple-double, but that's not like the crazy LeBron triple-double we expect. He goes 12 of 30. He could still quite easily uncork the classic 45, 15, and 12 game in game two and bury the fucking Raps at this point. That's the best part. Like, the Raps, you had this. You were right there. It's the win. Man, LeBron is more in the fucking heads of the Raptors than fucking Kendrick Perkins is going to be haunting Drake's dreams the next 2 days. Like, Drake's going to be flinching at every shadow that he sees. He's going, fuck, it's Kendrick. Oh, man, that was some good shit talking. We'll talk about that a bit later. So, how about we move on to Pelicans at Warriors. What do you reckon about that one? This was a fun-ass game as well. That was a really fun, like, last night. Like, I'm just sitting there going, Jesus Christ, I'm a bit tired. Need a couple more beers there. Need to get on the sauce. Punch through properly. So, Warriors win 121 to 116 to take their 2-0 lead in game two. But this was a fucking wild one. 13 lead changes. Pels got up in the first half. And then at the very end of the fucking half, Klay Thompson buries a long ass three out of nowhere to put the Warriors up. And you're like, ah, come on, man. Give the Pelicans like a little bit of a chance here, would you? Like, they were right in it. They were right there. Just give them the, you know, the nice feeling of being up at the half. It would have been pretty neat instead. Oh, no, they go into the half down one. It was classic. Thing is, it was tied up, basically. after that, you're like, oh, okay, so, So that, I think they were tied, and then that three put Golden State up three at the half. And then, like, New Orleans still outscored Golden State in the third quarter and still ended up losing, only being outscored 3 points in the fourth. That's how close this fucking game was. Even though the Warriors really pulled away in the fourth, the Pelicans just kept coming back, and this is why it was fun as shit. So look, as mentioned, the Pels got up early, and then Steph came on, and it got wild. And that's right, Steph came on. He was like their sixth man coming back from his knee injury. And the Warriors started Nick Young. Swaggy P, undefeated, never last. On your Swaggy. He had an absolute shit show, though, 1 of 4. But Steph came on and just went bam, 12 points in that first half, just curling around screens, drilling shit from a long way out. Nice twisty layups. And like, I've kind of missed it, I guess. You know, I call him the nerd on this here program every fucking time I talk about him. That's right, the nerd Steph Curry, the dork Steph Curry. But yeah, it was pretty cool to, you know, actually see him back in action. Rondo and Draymond were talking shit, getting right up in each other's faces. And that led to the drop that you heard at the start of Charles Barkley going, man, I wish someone would punch him in the face. Like, yeah, everybody wishes someone would punch Draymond in the face. And then Draymond shot back at Charles today going, oh, man, he's seen me a bunch of times. He had a bunch of times to punch me in the face, and he never did. So shut the fuck up. And you're like, oh, that's a good point. So Golden State led most of the second half here. Pels got down big, pulled it back to get down 2 in the fourth. Golden State stretched it out again. But this is how they do it, man. Like, they're only up 4 points, and then you turn around, they're up 13 in, like, 3 possessions. Like, what the fuck just happened? We were close. Fuck. That's what Golden State do to you. The Pels, though, they, credit to them, man, they just kept fucking coming. They went on another run right at the death. So basically a 12-2 run to get it really close again. They got it back within 6 or 28 seconds. Like, people were fucking leaving. It was like 11 points with a minute to go. Pelicans just kept coming. Couldn't get over the hump. And we're going to talk about like a weird thing with the refs a little bit later. So for the Pelicans, AD, Anthony Davis looked a little bit off and still had a massive night. 25 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. Fucking hell. 50% from the field. Probably should have had about another 4 or 5 other fouls go his way as well, man. Dude got mugged a bunch of times going to the rack. And how's this? So, I don't, you know, want to fucking bitch and moan about refs, but Jesus Christ, the Pelicans had fucking 60 points in the paint. The Warriors had 38. The flip side of that, the Warriors shot 23 free throws. The Pelicans shot 9. How in fuck is that a fucking fair disparity? The amount of times that like either Mirotic or Anthony Davis or Jrue Holiday especially got fucking fouled and nothing got called was an absolute disgrace on those fucking refs. They had a shit one last night, I'd say that much. Anyway, keep moving on. Rondo, he hit 3s. This was funny. He had 22 points, 12 assists, 7 rebounds, 5 steals, and goes 3 of 4 from 3. Playoff Rondo! I love it. Jrue Holiday, he was guarding Durant for stretches. Fuck, I love Jrue. 24 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, an absolute corker of a game. 11 to 24 from the field, though. And as mentioned, a lot of that came down to like him getting fouled and just not getting any fucking calls, which sucked. 2 of 9 from 3. Nikola Mirotic, that's the second straight game he's lost. Got to grow that beard back, Nico. Looked pretty good. He had 18 and 9. Got a little bit going late and then fouled out. Which, again, was a fucking shit show of a call. Yeah, he shoved the dude under the basket, but how often do you fucking see that and then it gets called? Absolutely ridiculous. Flip side for the Warriors. How is this, though? Look, they deserve to win. Amazing stat from this game. 36 assists the Warriors had. And you're like, oh, that seems nice. Yeah, on 43 made field goals. That is fucking ridiculous, mate. 36 assists on 43 made field goals. Are you watching this, Thunder? Pay attention, you fucking idiots. Steph, as mentioned, came off the bench and just started crushing it. 12 in the first half. Ends up with 28 points in 27 minutes. 5 of 10 from 3. 3 steals, 2 assists, 6 turnovers, though. So obviously a little bit rusty, a little bit careless with the ball. Rondo was just feasting on Steph sometimes when he's like, oh shit, Steph's got it. He's going to do this. I'm going to steal it from him. He did that like 3 times. It was awesome. And Steph, great carry over the top of Anthony Davis where he tripped up AD. There was no fuck. I don't know what the fuck the refs were doing. They were higher than like fucking Action Bronson during this game. Jesus. Anyway, Kevin Durant, as mentioned, came alive, had an amazing fourth quarter to put this away. He had 15 points in the fourth quarter. He had 29 total, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 blocks. Unreal. Draymond, almost another triple-double, 20 points, 12 assists, 9 rebounds. Pretty fucking good from Draymond. Also hit 2 of 5 from 3 when the Pelicans like, fuck it, I don't care, Draymond, you shoot it. And he's like, all right, and he hit 2 of 5 of them. So, I mean, that's something. Clay, he was pretty shit. Hit a three at the half, as mentioned, to put them up three at the going into the break. Was throwing up threes like it weren't no thing, but missed most of them. He goes 2 of 3 from long distance, 4 of 20 overall. That is not a great game for Clay Thompson. 4 of 20, ends up with 10 points. That is gross. So 10 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. But look, it was okay. The Warriors got enough out of Iguodala. He had 15. Kevin Looney even added 8, which was neat. David West out there is a peacemaker. It's like he's the big brother who breaks up the fight. He's like, all right, you fucking two, settle down. Between Draymond and Rondo, it was pretty good. 4 points, 2 blocks, 5 assists. And that's where all the assists came from. It's like dudes like Sean Livingston, David West, just throwing in enough. Durant had 7. You know, even fucking Iguodala with his 15, 8, 3, and 2. Unreal. So there you go. Warriors get through. They're 2 zip up. But you know, let's throw it over to the talking head. Hey, man, no series starts until someone loses on their home court. Like, yeah, all right, we get it. But goddamn, Warriors looking good. But as mentioned on this here program yesterday, we knew that the Pelicans would come back and look a lot tougher in game 2. And they did. And you get a feeling they could have, look, if they had have just maybe had the clamps on Kevin Durant in that 4th, they might have snuck it out. But that's the thing. The coward, Kevin Durant, he's pretty fucking good at basketball. So let's move on to the NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
Nice.
Yes, it was LeBron James. Are you kidding? 21st career triple-double. He now trails, he's only trailing Magic in triple-doubles in the playoffs, 30-21. He had 26 points, as mentioned, 13 rebounds, 11 assists, the game tie to get it overtime. And look, he more gets the knife just because of how much he fucking owns the Raptors. Like, the knife is actually just shoved into the back of their head because he's like, hey, I'm all up inside you. I'm all up inside you, Raptors. How you like that? And they're like, oh, I don't like it that much, Mr. LeBron. And he's like, too bad. I'm up inside you. So LeBron James, that was a fucking knife of a performance. And just a reminder that, yeah, he owns the fucking Raptors. They should actually just make him the mayor of Toronto. You know, just go, fuck it. Lean into it. Why not? How about old mate, no mates today? This is going to be a pretty easy one, I reckon.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, Jesus. This is going to be big booty. Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan there in Canada for the next 48 hours. Holy shit. Yeah, that's a disappearing act like fucking basically the dude from The Prestige. Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, the Toronto Raptors don't have a bunch of clones. Spoiler alert. Like, to have LeBron in your head so much that you motherfuckers can't score in a 4th quarter when you're up, and like, this is the monkey on your back. You're like, oh shit, we can do it, we're gonna do it, and then you just shit the bed. So how's this? Well, we'll talk about that in bitch ass of the night, but look, Lowry and DeRozan's like showing in the 4th and then in overtime was so fucking bad. They're gonna get dragged at home for the next 48 hours, and they deserve to get dragged. Because that was an absolute fucking embarrassment. So, speaking of which, let's move on to bitches of the night. Who was the bitches of the night? Well, that was the Raptors' 4th quarter offense, including Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan there, and my name is Jonas Valanciunas. Didn't score an actual bucket for the last 4 minutes of the 4th quarter. They go 0 of 11. Raptors, collectively. You are the bitches of the night. Also, Drake trying to have words with Kendrick Perkins, which was funny as hell. Hey, you know what the quickest way to end up dead in a car boot is? Calling Kendrick Perkins a fucking pussy. Drake or no. Like, if someone turns around like in game 5 and is like, hey, where's Drake? All eyes are definitely going to look towards Kendrick Perkins. And Kendrick's going to be like, what? I don't know. I don't know where. Have you seen him? I haven't seen him. On you, Kendrick Perkins, calling Drake a fucking, like, just calling out Drake and, like, walking away while Drake is mouthing off. Kendrick Perkins, you're a better man than I would have fucking laid in that piece of shit, especially when I'm Kendrick Perkins. So, anyway, let's move on to better than Lonzo Ball for today.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. And look, we didn't have any rookies playing last night, but we did have a return from injury. And look, Steph Curry, better than Lonzo Ball. Just a little bit better. 28 points in 27 minutes. Ain't no joke. 5 out of 10. And look, I'm going to talk about him a little bit later, but yeah, definitely a better than Lonzo Ball. especially when everyone's like, oh, Lonzo Ball could be the new Steph Curry. Fuck off. All right, let's get back with some yeah nahs right after these words. Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Street, eh? Cheer, Brew. All right, we're back. It's NBA Stories. Yeah, nah. We take three NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. So let's do it. Number one, was Serge Ibaka landing on LeBron's foot a foul? Yeah, nah. Yeah. By the letter of the law, because LeBron basically didn't give the shooter room to come down, but he was really just planting off to go back and get the fucking rebound. A bit of a piece of shit call, also a bit of a piece of shit move. That's right, LeBron Zaza'd Serge. Fucking Zaza did it to Kawhi, killed the entire Spurs organization last year. Don't forget about this, mate. Zaza, when he undercut Kawhi in game one of the Western Conference Finals, that literally put fucking a nail, that was a nail in the coffin of the Spurs. Kawhi basically hasn't played since then. It's all fucking over. So look, we can call a foul on LeBron in this one. Still, get the fuck out of here. It was a tough one, considering he's like nowhere near him, and Serge is like natural thing sort of pushes him under. It's not quite leaning into it. The amount of times though you saw fucking lean in fouls, I hate this shit so fucking much. Steph went up for a three. Anthony Davis literally just standing stock still. Steph goes up, throws his body into AD while he's shooting. Anthony Davis literally didn't fucking move. Oh man, that is, I hate that so fucking much. All right, number two. Was Kevin Love's clocking of DeMar DeRozan there awesome? Yeah, nah, yeah. Because Kevin Love got fouled like 80 times before he fucking threw that elbow into DeMar's jaw. So look, the best thing, the refs are like, it seems fair. Fuck it. That was great. Number three, can a Raptors team ever beat a LeBron team? Yeah, nah. Nah, I mean, based on evidence, no. But look, the Raps could still win this in six, but it's funny as fuck that LeBron is basically Casper the friendly ghost of the Raptors, but a bad, not friendly ghost that kicks the shit out of them. So, fourth, yeah, no, we're going to keep on going. We've got a couple more. Was that a jump ball between KD and Rondo at the end of the Warriors-Pelicans game? Yeah, nah. Yes, of course it fucking was. Did you see this? Like, what the fuck was that ref, Jason Phillips, thinking? There's like 5 seconds left in this game. They're only up six. Kevin Durant got the inbounds, then Rondo... He's like, he actually held it to his body, just waiting to get fouled. Rondo grabbed the fucking ball and wrapped him up. The ref is literally standing there in front of them. And he's like, oh, I might just let time run out instead. Like a fucking arsehole. Mate, it's your fucking job. You got to call that. Not just let time run out because you got a booking at a steakhouse with one of the San Francisco's finer hookers. What the fuck, mate? This was a disgrace. Dude, that's your fucking job. He was literally staring at Rondo and Kevin Durant, holding the ball at the same time. We've seen refs call fucking jump balls when another dude has touched the ball when the other guy has held it for like a split fucking poofteenth of the second. And you come out there and go, nah, I'm good. Rondo should have fucking clocked that dickhead. That was a fucking joke. Do your fucking job. Call the games properly. Don't be a fucking asshole. Woo! All right, number five, extra special. Yeah, nah, does Steph being back make the Warriors the favorites again? Yeah, nah, yeah, it does. It's a shame, but man, they look good again, don't they? And, you know, it's just what you expect, I guess, when you got a two-time MVP, even if he's a giant fucking nerd. All right, let's get to Look At Me, Look At Me, the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me, look at me, look at me.
I love showboating, but man, Steph Curry is a little bish and should get sorted out with a couple of fucking hard shoulders and pointy ass elbows, courtesy of, like, Rondo or, like, Chuck Diallo or, like, someone on the fucking Pelicans for all the dumbass showboating that he does, right? That little prick, like, showboats more than fucking anybody in the entire NBA. And everyone's like, oh, isn't that cute? That's so cute that Steph Curry does that because he's smaller than everybody. Fuck off. Sort him out. See how many fucking, like, runs up back up the court he does doing his sweeping arms and, like, standing there chewing his fucking mouth guard when you cop a fucking elbow to the back of the head. Well, let's see what happens then. So, all right, y'all ready for a bit of Outback Takehouse today? Outback Takehouse. It's Wednesday. It's happy hour from 12 till 9 at Outback Takehouse. Get three times the shrimp on three times the takes at Outback Takehouse. Kawhi Leonard has played his last game for the Spurs and will play with the Philadelphia 76ers next season. Woo! Did you read that Ramona Shelburne, Michael Wright ESPN piece yet? Holy shit. Yeah, those motherfuckers are done. Spurs Kawhi, it's like, ah. Oh, goddamn. Biggest takeaway I got was that how the Spurs are just real pissed that they aren't in control, right? And Kawhi's team seem to be fucking idiots. It's like, nah, we're going to go to another doctor. The Spurs are like, all right, sure. So what's the problem? And Kawhi's like, hey, man, I don't know. And his uncle's like, hey, man, Kawhi needs to be a big star. It's like, just fucking settle down, mate. Anyway, the disconnect seems fucking real if you read that. And look, this is only going to get more and more interesting, but you do get the feeling that it's kind of going to get to a point where either Pop just goes, all right, man, hey, man, my fucking wife died. Would you just fuck off and just settle down for a second? We're going to sit down. We're going to sink some cans. We're going to talk this shit out. Do you want to be a super fucking star? Well, look, that's what we're going to do. You are. Like, you came fucking second MVP voting, motherfucker. Anyway, but still, him on Philly would be amazing. All right, we'll be back right after this with Australian Player Watch and some other fun stuff. So let's do that.
G'day, this is Thon McCurr, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's Australian Player Watch. Look, we had zero Aussies in action last night, so Jingles and Dante, Kangaroo Kobe, take on Houston tonight. That's the only look forward we've got. Big Simo and Co don't play till Thursday, so awesome. That was pretty easy, so let's move on to, what do you reckon? The Mark Bradke, sweaty white guy of the week. Oh, I was going to talk about Teenage Mutant Jakob Poeltl here for a second, so I'm going to talk about from last night's game. I'm like, oh, Teenage Mutant Jakob Poeltl will be a good one. He's sweaty. But nah, come on. It actually came into effect. All that sweat from my name is Jonas Valanciunas. He's carrying the wheel. Come sit next to me. Pour yourself some motherfucking tea. Damn, that's a sweaty Lithuanian. Big fella did work for his 21 and 21 last night. Played 34 minutes, literally the most he played all year. And he sweated more than a fat 38-year-old father of three in Thailand for the first time. It was glorious. He was so sweaty. Thing is, I reckon he sweated too much. That 34 minutes of playing time caused him just to go fucking haywire. He went 1 of 7 in the fourth quarter, including about 3-4 attempts on the last possession in both regulation and OT, probably because the ball kept fucking slipping off his sweaty ass hands, bro. Holy shit. So there you go, Jonas Valanciunas. Maybe sweat a little bit less, but there you go. In this long, illustrious line of sweaty big men like Mark Bradke, welcome. My name is Jonas Valanciunas to the Mark Bradke Sweaty White Guy Hall of Fame. That was an absolute pearler of a showing. All right, we'll be back right after this with the Matty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board and some game previews.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board. And look, man, we're scrambling. There's no Dally, there's no Patty Mills, there's no Thon McCurr, there's no Jingler, no Ben Simmons. No one's inspiring us on the old tweeters today, but Aaron Bangers Baines! Oh shit, this is the best thing I've ever seen yesterday. So Bangers tweets out, I like to eat, so figured I should learn how to cook. Check out how I spend my off day so I can perform at my highest level throughout the NBA season, presented by Mobile One Annual Protection. And it links to a fucking video of Bangers cooking up a pad thai. Oh, where does that sound fucking familiar from? Oh, just fucking NBA Australia, mate. I love this. So remember, every Friday we have Cooking with Bainesy here on NBA Australia. And turns out Cooking with Bainesy is an actual fucking thing that Bainesy does. Now I'm going to get actual Bainesy on here to do Cooking with Bainesy. And NBA Australia will be complete. So that was amazing. I was so fucking inspired yesterday after I saw that. On your Bangers. It looked like a pretty nice pad thai, but not that great. I mean, I think I've seen way fucking better. Anyway, let's move on to the game previews. Game previews. Game previews for Wednesday night. Let's do it. We've only got one. We've got Jazz at Rockets. Game two. What do you think there, inadvertent Bane?
I believe that the Jazz will give the Rockets a run for their money. Their 1% money. Tear down the entire system.
Sure. No Rubio again for the Jazz. He's still out with his 10-day hammy. That leaves it up to, I guess, Donovan fucking Mitchell. Come on, mate. We need like 50. And look, if you're going to be out there on Insta, like, liking shit talk about Big Ben Simmons there, you got to score fucking 50. Because if you have a shit one, we're coming after you. Jingles, look, he has to take more than 3 three-pointers, right? Three-point attempts last game. Not enough for basically the best three-point shooter in the NBA. Rudy has to cover Clint Capela a little bit better. And just their entire fucking, basically their perimeter defense just can't break down as easily as it did in game one. Where the Rockets just at a different pace, it just completely discombobulated the Jazz. But I don't think the Rockets will crush them in this. I think they might still win, but I've got a feeling that Quinn Snyder will just be like, oh shit. So, all right, this is how we are. Now, a couple more days we've got the tape, we can watch some video, we'll figure it out a little bit better. Snyder and the Jazz, man, fucking badass defensive team. So, I think this will tighten up a lot more. But the Rockets do have Luka Mbarumute back, PJ Tucker on the other side, Chris Paul, whinging Chris Paul. I think he'll have a bit of an okay one. And fast Jimmy Harden will probably still be pretty good. Look, you never know. The Jazz are tough motherfuckers. Game two was a little bit of a complacency game there, I think, for maybe the Rockets. I think this will be really fucking tight, and I think the Rockets just eke it out over the Jazz. And everyone goes, ooh, the Jazz might have a chance. Hey, do you think that the Jazz could win this series? It's like, well, maybe. But I think the Rockets go up 2-0. Even though it's going to be real fucking tight, I think the Jazz's defense locks the fuck in. Rockets might be a little bit leery from the old long distance, but still just eke it out because they're badass. So that is going to be fun as shit. All right, so that's it. That's it for today. That's it for NBA Australia. We're back tomorrow with more ridiculousness. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia. Like us on Facebook, Insta. All the good stuff. Don't forget to subscribe to NBA Australia on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever else you get your podcast. Check this nice rating and review while you're at it. Go on and tell them, mate, would you? If they like basketball, get them listening. The more the merrier. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, though, House Hats, the best band in Australia right now. And their new single, Stop, which is a pearler. Extra special thanks to the legends of Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes throughout the episode. Check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands! Give them a smash, they're great. And you know what? Stick around for a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. It's so good. He's got a lot of slamming to do, doesn't it, Andy? That's how he does. And we will catch us tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying... Later, Horizon! Alright, and welcome to this week's show. I'm Andrew Bogut, and this is Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Because remember, with all these latte-drinking snowflake SJW feminists out there distorting the world and not having any personal responsibility and being all sensitive to everything, someone needs to tell it like it is, mate. Like, real truths and everything. So that's what we do here. I speak the truth, and if you don't like my opinions, you can go get stuffed, eh? And now I'm back in Australia and some of the NBL. I got plenty of time to talk to you idiots on Twitter about footy, the East-West link, drug injecting rooms, and a whole bunch of other stuff, eh? So, let's get stuck in. All right, so this week, what are they talking about? Oh, this is funny. Oh, mate, did you see Peter Fitzsimmons writing about the NBA? Oh my God, what a dickhead. So my friend Ante Jucic, he writes out, Australia's NBA few have the power to overcome America's many in Tokyo. LMAO, I don't know if that's a bad thing. I'll miss this one. Oh, better tweet out as well. The Pirate writing about the NBA? Premiership ring? Oh my God. Crying emoji, face slap emoji. Oh my God, what a dipshit. This was amazing. It's not a premiership ring, you fucking idiot. It's a championship ring. Count them. Buggy's got one right here. Okay, so what else? I've been watching the footy, so Great job traveling, PA Power fans. Can hear the soccer chants beam through the telecast. Love it, bro. Oh, and this dickhead Mo, hey, this dickhead Mo comes back to me and talks at me and says, it's football, mate. Pop that one out. I'm going to retweet that and say, love my soccer. That's funny, mate. Oh, and then this dickhead, oh, Fat Jack, he says, you diminish yourself with a petty attempted insult. I have no idea what you are on about, you dickhead. Oh, and then this dickhead replies to this one. He says, RIP Essendon Football Club 1872 to 2004. Oh, the problem is I called soccer. And then this dickhead says, football. Bombers play tomorrow. That's right, football. That'll fucking show that dickhead. Okay, so this guy from Four Corners say, government backbencher George Christensen says he's a fat bloke, but doesn't blame the industry for his weight gain. Tipping the scales, sugar politics and what's making us fat. Monday on Four Corners. Oh, here we go. Andrew Bogart, I better say, what's this personal responsibility you spout? This is clearly the government, junk food industry, privileged people, somebody else, anybody else, forcing you to eat bad. Am I right? Am I right? Right there. Oh, it's just right there, mate. Oh, it's very simple. Oh, and then someone, so this dickhead comes back and goes, oh, got any documentaries on this / nutrition in general to recommend, mate? Oh, actually, I'll do, my friend Max Elwood. Is Sugar the New Fat Doco? Really opened my eyes to it. It's really great. Nice one. So what else we got to talk about? Oh, this is a fun one. So this dickhead says, that's right. The S Madden comes back. So my friend Jen Browning, she says, well, I don't always agree with him. It's great to have Andrew Bogart joining the Sydney sporting landscape. He says it how it is. Other sports stars and coaches should take note. And then this dipshit S Madden says, except when he tweets rubbish on racial issues he knows nothing about. If you don't know how it is, maybe it's best to shut up and not shout out how you think it is. Oh, what the fuck are you talking about, S. Madden, you dickhead? Growing up being called a wog was complimentary, I guess? Different is, I refuse to be a victim. # try again, you fucking dickhead. Jesus, what a dipshit. Oh, so I've been watching all this footy and all these people are talking shit about how bad footy is. I fucking love it, so I'm going to tweet to my friend Pendles. So Pendles says, evolution is a wonderful thing. Maybe if we highlight good things in the game, it will help shape the conversation. So much negativity, and it was in response to this dipshitted article by that clarky dickhead in the Herald Sun, even though it's my favorite paper. So I'm going to respond to Pendles. Come on, Pendles. Remember the fellas back in the day, they walked 10 kilometers to school each way, went to footy practice, had to get home blindfolded in the dark, and then still had to perform on a weekend in between constructing a house at halftime because they weren't paid. That's a good one, Bogey. That's a good one. Oh, then Pendles says back to me, this is fun. He says, can you please bring back the short shorts and goggles to Sydney next season? And I'd appreciate at least 1 to 2 skyhooks a game and a few dunk shots. Dunk shots, that's funny. I better respond to him as well. Oh, crying emoji, rolling picks. Oh, then this fucking dickhead, John Ralph, he says, they introduced a shot clock in the NBA and the 50s went from 79 points to 93 per team in the space of a season. Is the NBA better for it? Not saying we need that, but rules can encourage scoring and better entertainment. Oh, fuck you, Ralphie, you dipshit. Games evolve. Strategies evolve. Today's game can be definitely more free-flowing, but a coach is paid to win, be it ugly or pretty. The athlete that's played today's AFL are animals with their fitness levels. That plays a part. How many forwards back in the day applied defensive pressure? That's a really good point, Bogey. It's a really good point. Okay, and then my thing this week is really pissing me off, so I better tweet this one right out. Clown World, Victoria. Can legally take illegal drugs in a facility which is across the road from a school. Smack my head emoji. Unbelievable. Oh, and then this guy, Mark Hosking, he says, can't have a cigarette in there though. Oh my God. Better retweet that. When I heard that, I actually laughed out loud. You couldn't make it up, dickheads. Oh my God. Oh, and then this other guy, Boba Khan, he says, you can't also have a beer in the nearby park between 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. per City of Yarra regulations. Smack my head emoji. What a world, mate. What a world. So this is absolutely crazy. There's like an injecting room near this school. And here we go. I'm going to just follow this one up. Follow up. We are going to tax you drinking soft drink, a legally consumed beverage, but use tax dollars to fund a house for people to use illegal drugs. # clown world. Oh my God, that's not smart. I'll tell you what. Oh, and then this dickhead, Ed Carr, he says, ha, if you can't work out why they're doing this, you're nothing short of stupid, mate. Read up all the positive stories about these facilities around the world, including Sydney. What the fuck are you talking about, Ed, you dipshit? Disagree with Ed. You are nothing short of stupid, mate. Great way to engage as an adult. Thumbs up emoji, you fucking idiot. Jesus fucking hell, Ed. And here we go. So, thank you, my friend Schmick. He says, I think the crux of the point is the proximity to the school and the potential impacts that it might have on the children. Ed, you fucking dipshit. Thank you, Schmick. Thank you. Oh, and then this dickhead Hamish Pryor says, strange how everyone who lives and works there agrees with it and everyone else believes shock statements like this without the facts. As someone constantly in North Richmond, I'm more than happy to explain to you why it would be so good for the area should you be willing to listen. Well, I'm going to tweet that out and say, I believe Tom Elliott 3AW lives in the area and disagrees. There goes your logic. Sorry, Hamish, you fucking dickhead. And then Hamish comes back as well then. He says, then at the very least, Tom Elliott and I have the experience understanding to come to these opinions on the matter. Perhaps you should have moved to the area and then decide. I'm good. Don't have to move to an area to realize a drug house next to a school is not a good idea. Do you have kids, you fucking idiot? Jesus, Hamish, what a fucking moron, mate. Oh, and then this guy, Nathan, he says, you know what? Given your large profile, I would hope you obtain an extensive understanding on the topic like this prior to shooting off your tweets. Will do. Injecting room next to school, bad idea. There we go. How's that, you fucking idiot? Oh, and this guy, AK, he says, ha ha, Tom Elliott used as a credible voice on any subject, laughable. All right then, AK. What station is your radio show, you fucking idiot? Jesus. Oh, then this dickhead John Maloney comes back and says, the expert on drugs, Dr. Bogut. Well, John Maloney, Dr. Bogut says, you are balding. Let it go, dickhead. Nice one. That's enough of the politics, though. So how about, look, my picks for the NBA playoffs. Cleveland versus Toronto and Golden State versus New Orleans. Who do you have? I have Cleveland and Golden State. Hashtag NBA playoffs. That's pretty good. Oh, then this dipshit, Josh Brorovic, he says, biased AF, played for both, albeit only 58 seconds for one. Oh, fuck you, Josh Brovnik. 58 seconds more than you, champ. Nice one, Bogut. Fucking slam that snowflake. Okay, and that's all for this week. I've been Andrew Bogut, and this has been Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter.